Chapter 13. Her instincts had been 100% right. Klausman, the show producer with the completely shaven dome and ever-present frown, had been tough as steel. He was hard to read and calculating, but she'd managed to separate him from about $1,000 by sticking to her guns, studying her cards, and quickly analyzing what had been played and what hadn't. Klausman was a fierce opponent. The guy showed no emotion, and he reminded her of how she played in Charlie's fake games. Except tonight, she didn't play like that. She played loose and carefree on the outside, laughing and joking, and mixing a drink here or there at the restaurant Liam was slated to open in 2 weeks. Speakeasy, he was calling it, and the place was gorgeous. There were booths in fine brown leather and gorgeous oak tables, as well as a long, polished wooden bar. She loved that he hadn't gone with the overly slick look of so many bars and restaurants these days that draped themselves in chrome and steel. This restaurant was classy and warm, with rich, red-framed abstract prints on the walls and burgundy stools at the bar. Liam finished dealing to Cam, then slapped down the last card for Klausman. He picked up his cards and considered them, his cold, blue eyes on the hand in front of him. He'd never be the type invited into Charlie's games. He wasn't an easy target. Julia held her own cards, not too tight, not too loose, as Clay rested a hand absently on her thigh. His white button-down shirt sleeves were rolled up, showing off his fabulous forearms. He wore his purple tie knotted loosely. His lucky tie, he'd called it. He puffed on a cigar, looking sexy and oh-so-masculine doing so. But she wasn't focused on him right now. Her real focus was on Klausman, and she tried to study him to gauge his next move.
"Well, this is just a shit hand," Cam said out of nowhere, slapping his cards down with a loud smack and shaking his head. "I'm so out, I'm beyond out. They're going to need a new word for how out I am in this round."
He brought the cigar he was smoking back to his mouth. Julia smiled faintly at Clay's lawyer friend. He was exactly as Clay had described. Big personality, big voice, lit up the room. He even smoked grandly, puckering his lips around his cigar and taking deep inhales.
"So, Miss Julia," he said, "what is your favorite drink to make? Absolute favorite in the entire universe of spirits."
"How about you let the woman play?" Clay said, as Klausman pushed a black chip to the center of the table, muttering that he was in.
Cam's eyebrows rose at Clay's question.
"What? Your woman can't talk and play cards at the same time?"
Julia raised her eyes.
"Champagne for happiness, whiskey for loneliness, and vodka for anything else," she answered as she slid a chip into the pile.
Cam blew out a long steam of smoke, making rings with his big mouth.
"Well, look at that. She's a poet. That was fucking beautiful. Was that not a beautiful ode to drinking?"
Cam glanced around the table at Liam, at Michelle, at Klausman, and at Clay, waiting for them to respond to his question.
"It was lyrical," Liam said, glancing up from his cards to flash one of his charmer smiles.
It was so clear he was an actor, because he had that it factor, the charisma that made him shine on stage.
"Like a gorgeous soliloquy."
Tossing a chip into the mix, he turned to Michelle, who stayed in the round yet again, even though she hadn't once won. Julia had to give her credit. The woman wasn't backing down, even though she'd had nothing decent all night and could barely play. But she had iron nerves and kept on ticking. Even Liam, who couldn't keep his hands off her, hadn't distracted her from her cards. Not when he nuzzled her neck, ran his fingers through her hair, or flirted like a movie star with her.
"I'm gonna drink to your ode to drinking,"
Cam said, holding up a glass and a toast across the table. Julia raised an imaginary glass.
"Cheers," she said,
and soon it was time for hands to be revealed. Clay went first, laying down his cards, only a 10 high.
"Oh, you bluffing bastard!" Cam shouted. "Did you actually think you were going to win with that?"
He simply shrugged,
and the corner of his lips quirked up. His secret? He was protecting his secret.
Man's gotta try, Clay said dryly, leaning back in his chair.
He ran a finger over Julia's thigh as she placed her cards on the table, showing her pair of sevens.
Lucky sevens, she said proudly, then she noticed Michelle looking at her. Or rather, at her leg.
At the exact spot where Clay's hand was, as he ran his finger across the fabric of her stocking. Maybe it was coincidence, or maybe there was something more to the stare.
Meanwhile, Klausman laid down his cards, and he had a pair of fives.
A phone rang, and Liam reached into his pocket. Glancing at the screen, he said,
"My film agent, let me go take this."
He rose.
"Wait, Liam, what do you have?" Michelle asked.
He waved off his hand.
"I got jack shit. That's what I got. You show them my hand," he said, bending down to kiss Michelle on the forehead.
She tilted her face up and let out a small murmur. Maybe she did like him. After he left, she shrugged and said,
"I guess it's my turn. And I think I might have won my first hand," she said, showing two kings.
Julia's chest tightened and annoyance threaded its way through her body. Damn. The last person she'd expected to win was Michelle. But then she told herself to let go of the annoyance. This was poker, and you didn't win every hand. Besides, she was having fun not playing with skunk watching over her, not having to show her cleavage to take down a VC. She had her eye on the prize, and she planned to snag the brass ring of victory and then march into the breakfast meeting with Charlie tomorrow, shove the greenbacks in his face, and tell him to kiss the fuck off.
Klausman pushed back from the table.
"Since there's a break in the action, I'll take a break."
Julia turned to Cam, who was finishing his scotch.
"Want another?"
"I would love one," he said.
Michelle waggled her empty glass.
"I could use another. I'll join you."
"Sure. We'll make it a ladies' night behind the bar."
She was beautiful. She could hold her liquor, and she'd known him for years.
"Here's your scotch," Julia said, sliding the glass to Michelle, who brought it to her lips and took a swallow.
Julia knew she shouldn't be jealous, not after what she and Clay had shared, but this woman was here, in New York City. She could see her man anytime she wanted to. Julia studied her as she drank, that pretty brown hair, those gorgeous brown eyes, and her body. But she fought back the sliver of envy that snaked through her. She'd never been the jealous type, had never been the insecure type either, and she certainly wasn't going to start down that road tonight. Women didn't need to battle each other or be bitchy.
"You two seem pretty happy," Michelle offered once they were out of earshot of the men.
"I suppose you could say that," Julia said with a grin.
"And what about you and Liam? He's rather fond of you."
"Oh, he's great," Michelle said quickly. Too quickly.
"When did you start seeing him?"
"A few weeks ago."
"He's very sweet. And quite a charmer."
"You and Clay haven't been together for very long either, have you?" Michelle asked. She clearly had no interest in discussing Liam.
2 months.
"That's really not much, is it?"
"I don't know. Is it? Isn't it? Sometimes I think it takes all the time in the world, and sometimes it takes no time," she said.
"You're crazy about him, aren't you?" Michelle said, and her voice sounded sad. Julia rested her elbows on the bar.
"I am. Absolutely, in every way."
"I can tell," she said, casting her eyes down at her glass.
"I'm glad it's obvious. Are you okay, though? You look..."
Her voice trailed off as her bartender instincts to listen to patrons' woes kicked in. Michelle raised her eyes and fixed them on Julia.
"I want him to be happy," she said firmly. "My brother and I care deeply for him. We've been friends ever since college."
Then she added,
"Clay and I." "He mentioned you went to school together."
He was there for me when I was having a hard time with my parents' death.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It was a while ago, but I had a hard time with it in college, and he was there for me, she said, and it was the second time she'd voiced that word, college. She glanced over at Clay as he chatted with Cam, blowing steams of smoke.
Clay reached for his phone, flicking his thumb across the screen casually.
Strange for him to be on his phone, Julia thought. He rarely was, but then he put it away quickly.
I'm glad he was there for you, she said, and Michelle simply nodded, barely listening as she looked at Clay.
That's when it hit her.
It hadn't been a mere coincidence when Michelle had watched his hand on her thigh earlier in the game. It wasn't a coincidence at all. It was a sign of longing. And now Julia knew something about Michelle that Clay didn't know. Something that Michelle had been hiding for years. Or maybe he did know that she longed for him. Maybe he simply hadn't told Julia yet. That possibility pissed her off, but somehow she'd have to use it to fuel the game.
Chapter 14. 2 hours later, she'd pushed thoughts of Michelle aside. Clay was with her and only her. Julia might be possessive, but she was not a jealous woman. How could she be jealous when she was closer to her goal? She was almost halfway to the prize, and Liam was making bigger and bigger bets. God bless an actor like him. He was simply flush with cash and didn't seem to mind parting ways with it. She revealed her two aces, and Liam laughed, shaking his head.
Got me again, he said, shoving all the chips to Julia since everyone else was out for this hand.
Another step closer. She felt buoyant, bubbles rising to the surface. She could do this. She could win on her terms, be free of her debt. The way she wanted to, by clawing her way out of her troubles. The prospect of not having to rely on Clay's bailout sent a surge of adrenaline through her. She didn't want a safety net. Her blood pumped faster, turbocharged with anticipation. She could taste freedom on her tongue, like sweet sugary crystals, and that drove her as they played another round, then another, and each time she added to her totals. Clay leaned in to nuzzle her neck.
You're winning, gorgeous. I knew you would.
Don't jinx me, she said softly.
No jinxes. Just complete confidence in you.
A blast of pride raced through her. He was proud of her because she was good, because she'd earned it. Clay was the opposite of her ex. Dylan had taken her for a ride and fooled her. Clay was upfront about everything, and he believed in her. He'd never try to hoodwink her.
I'm glad you feel that way about me, she said as she knocked back a scotch.
Want me to freshen that up for you?
No. Bring me a purple snow globe or a heist, the drink you named for me. Or wait, I have a better idea. Make me a new drink and call it the Long Distance Lover, he said, wiggling his eyebrows.
She laughed.
You want me to whip up an impromptu cocktail? You don't even like mixed drinks.
I might if you made me one, but I'd probably just want to lick it off of you, he said, his dark eyes raking over her.
You're drunk.
I assure you, I would lick it off you sober, drunk, bone-tired, or sick as a dog, he whispered in her ear, flicking the tip of his tongue over her earlobe.
I'm changing your name to Captain PDA.
What can I say? I have my woman here with me and I'm out with my good friends. All is well in the world, he said, then pulled back to catch Liam's attention across the table.
Liam, we have a bartender in the house. Let her show you how much you wish you had her drinks on your menu here at Speakeasy.
Julia rolled her eyes and pushed his shoulder. He grabbed her and kissed her on the lips.
Man, do I need to book you a room at the Plaza? Cam said, slamming his hand on the table.
Yeah, 'cause we know you have connections everywhere. Clay said. Hey, I told you I got out of that racket.
Well, you two boys just keep up the chest thumping and I'll go a-mixing, Julia said, heading to the bar. She perused the offerings, considering gin, vodka, and rum, then decided to start with a tequila as the base, adding in some fruity mixers, a little lemon soda, and then something special, a secret ingredient. She held up a glass when she was done.
Who wants to be my guinea pig for the long-distance lover?
Liam raised a hand, waving broadly.
My place. I go first.
He trotted over to the bar, brought the glass to his lips, and tasted.
This is superb, he said, smacking his lips. You're like a mad scientist of the Licorian variety.
Call me a chemist. I'm all about new flavors, she said with a big smile.
You need to text me the recipe.
She shook her head. A good bartender doesn't give up her recipes for free.
Then give me your number and we'll make a deal for it.
She pointed her finger at him playfully. Now you're talking, she said and rattled off her number. Liam spun around and used his big stage voice to call out to the table.
Everyone needs one of these.
After whipping up more cocktails, she returned to the table and served drinks to the rest of the players.
I love it, Clay said to her after he tasted the drink.
He was pretty carefree and happy. Maybe it was the alcohol loosening him up, or maybe it was because she was winning. He pulled her into his lap.
Since when do you like mixed drinks?
Julia looked up to see Michelle asking Clay the pointed question.
Every now and then I like to break out of my habits, he said.
You're always a scotch drinker,
the brunette added pointedly, and there was something protective in Michelle's voice. Almost like a lover or an ex who knew things about someone.
You were never like that in college.
I was never a lot of things in college.
College. Julia's ears pricked at that word. Why on earth did Michelle keep hearkening back to college with Clay?
You were some things, Michelle said. Come on, enough about drinks in college. Time to deal.
Klausman said gruffly and started doling out the cards. Julia slid off Clay's lap and back to her own chair. Focus, she told herself. She was almost there. She had to keep riding this wave of luck and skill to the tune of another few thousand dollars, and she'd be free and clear. She appraised her cards, and soon the betting began. Then the strangest thing happened. Michelle won the next hand, and the next, and the next. With each successive win, Julia grew more tense, and she noticed Clay's light and easy mood slip away. He was no longer leaning casually in his chair. He was more focused on the game, his eyes shifting back and forth, and he kept looking at his watch, too. The ticking clock, winding down to Charlie. Michelle cleaned up once more with a full house that made Clay sit up straight in his chair and reach into his back pocket. Maybe for his phone. But then he stopped, resting his hands on the table and checking out Julia's dwindling stack of chips. By the time the woman who'd known him since college had sliced Julia's winnings in half, she was ready to lunge at her, and it had nothing to do with her staring at Clay, but everything to do with how jealous Julia was of Michelle's hands all over the money she needed.
She probably didn't even need it. She'd probably use it for a goddamn spa weekend, not to pay off a mob boss.
I swear it's beginner's luck,
Michelle said with the kind of laugh that sparkled. A pure laugh, a happy laugh. But it grated on her to no end because Julia wanted those chips to herself. I have no clue how to play.
What are you going to use your money for, baby?
Liam said, leaning over to kiss her on the cheek.
Take me out someplace nice, will you? I want to go to the Bahamas again.
Yes, and have your picture taken by someone trying to sell you real estate.
Julia latched onto one word, Bahamas, and it nagged at her brain.
My ex is probably in the Bahamas, she muttered.
Clay's eyes snapped up. Dylan? She shrugged.
He always said he wanted to go there,
she said in a low voice.
He did,
Clay whispered.
Yeah, but everyone wants to go there. He could be anywhere, she said,
and something inside of Julia coiled tightly, like a viper rising through her chest. Maybe it was her mention of Dylan. Maybe it was Michelle's carefree way with money. Or maybe it was the simple fact that when Liam kissed Michelle's neck, her eyes didn't flutter closed. She didn't part her lips to sigh, and she didn't slide her body closer to his. Instead, Michelle peered out of the corner of her eye at Clay, and the look in her brown eyes was one of such deep longing and something more, something much more. In a blinding moment of clarity, Julia no longer sensed that Clay hadn't been truthful about their relationship. She knew. There was something more to them, and she didn't care about the game or the money or Charlie. She cared about whether she'd been played again. She pushed back from the table.
Excuse me, she said, and she tapped his shoulder and cleared her throat. I need to step outside for a second and get some fresh air.
I'll join you, he said, rising and resting his hand on her lower back as she walked to the door, pushed hard on it, and then felt the rush of warm night air on her face. It was close to midnight, and the city was still lively, cars and cabs and people racing by.
What happened in college between you and Michelle?
She crossed her arms.
What? He said, blinking his eyes. Were you involved with her?
No.
Did anything happen with her?
She asked once more, and this time she felt like the lawyer, turning over the question again and again until the witness answered.
What do you mean? Do I need to spell it out?
Yeah, you do, he said firmly. She pretended to mime sign language as she spoke.
Were you involved with her? Because I'm getting a serious vibe from her that she's tripping down memory lane from the days of old, she said, now holding her hands out wide. College this, college that, Clay in college, it's like she's holding on to something in college with you.
We kissed once. We weren't involved. He said it so matter-of-factly.
But it slammed into her, and she nearly stumbled backwards.
He reached for her, but she held him off. She was fine. She didn't need him.
Oh, she said, long and exaggerated. Right, of course. A kiss. That's not involved whatso-fucking-ever.
What the hell, Julia? I was never involved with her. She's a friend, not an ex-girlfriend.
You kissed her, she said, jutting her chin out at him. That makes her kind of an ex, wouldn't you say?
I don't think that constitutes an ex. The low-key way he answered her pissed her off, because he truly seemed to believe his own line of bullshit.
Okay, let's get technical and legal about it then, if you're going to be like that. So I'll walk you through what constitutes being involved. When you've kissed someone and I ask, were you involved with her? That's the moment when you say, yes, I kissed her once, Julia, and it meant nothing to me. And we've been great friends ever since then, and I have drinks with her every Thursday night and talk about you, but don't worry that I had my tongue down her throat because we're just friends.
It's not at the fucking poker game I'm losing that you tell me, she said, practically spitting out the words through her anger. Are you pissed because you're losing, or are you pissed that I kissed her? He asked her through narrowed eyes. Anger flared deep inside her. Anger over that woman, over Charlie, over the 3,000 miles between her and Clay. Anger, annoyance, and frustration all fused into a cocktail of heat and rage as she grabbed his shirt collar.
Thanks for pointing that out, because it's kind of both. I have a shitstorm of trouble waiting for me back home if I don't win, she said.
That's not true. I told you I'd help you, he said, and his hand moved briefly towards his pocket, but then he stopped.
Why do you keep reaching for your phone? That's not your style.
Flynn is out with the Pinkertons. Just wanted to make sure it's all going well, he said, then shifted quickly back to the matter at hand. But I wish you'd stop worrying about the game. You're going to be fine.
I don't want you to help me, though. I want to win on my own,
she said, and she was damn near close to digging her heels into the sidewalk.
Didn't he get it? Didn't he understand how important this was to her?
But everything had collided right now. The game, Michelle, the possibility of truth and lies. And you will. She pushed her hands through her hair.
I just wish you'd told me when I asked you in San Francisco if you'd been involved with her. I asked you if Michelle was your ex, and you said she was just a friend, and always had been.
But now it turns out you kissed her, Julia said. But she knew deep down it wasn't the kiss that bothered her. That wasn't why she was upset about Michelle.
It just wasn't important. But it's not as if you've been totally honest with me.
I didn't lie, though. I told you there were things I couldn't tell you.
I feel like we're parsing words here. I don't understand why it matters that I kissed her. Hope this doesn't come as a shock to you, but I've kissed other women before.
I know, she hissed.
So why does it matter so much that I kissed Michelle once? I don't even think about her like that.
Because she is here all the time. Because she sees you. Because I don't get to.
We can change that, he said, his voice suddenly soft, all the harshness banished from his tone.
How? I live far away and she lives a block away, she said, dropping her face in her hands, hating the sound of her own voice.
Ugh, look what you've done to me. I've become this whiny woman pining away, and she's lovely and smart and funny, and it pisses me off that she can see you anytime she wants.
He gently peeled her hands away from her face, tucking his finger under her chin and lifting her gaze to his.
I don't feel a thing for her. I didn't tell you when you asked if she was an ex because I don't even think about her like that. I don't think of her as an ex. It was one kiss, one time, one drunken night, nothing more. I don't think about her because you're all I think about. To the point that I'm sure no man has ever felt this way for a woman.
You shouldn't be jealous of her. She should be jealous of you.
She stared at him, narrowing her eyes. Seriously, Clay, cocky much?
It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with how I feel for you, he said, moving his hands down to her arms, holding her tight.
Every woman should be jealous of you because of how I feel for you. Because no man has ever wanted a woman like I want you. No man has ever craved a woman as deeply as I crave you. And no man has ever fallen this hard and this fast for a woman.
Her heart stopped, then thundered furiously against her chest, wanting to leap into his hands.
I'm sorry, she murmured, all her anger draining away. I'm a jealous witch. It's just hard for me to see her and know you're so friendly and that she's so in love with you.
He froze like a statue. Then, seconds later, though it felt like a minute, he looked at her as if she'd just spoken Russian.
What are you talking about?
You don't know that? She asked, shocked.
No.
It's patently obvious to anyone who spends 10 minutes with her. She's madly in love with you, Clay.
He swallowed and shook his head, as if he were shaking the strange notion away.
How can you tell? He asked, the words coming out all choppy.
Because of how she looks at you, she said, as if it were obvious because to her it was.
And that's enough for you to conclude she's in love with me?
For the first time ever, she'd truly surprised him. She hadn't intended to drop a bomb, but he so clearly didn't see it all.
Yes.
Why? How? How can you tell she looks at me like she's in love with me?
She rolled her eyes.
Because I recognize the look.
The look on his face was no longer shock. It was hope, and the dawn of something so much more.
You do?
Then she realized she'd practically said it.
Yes.
How?
Because it's how I look at you, she said, the words falling from her lips in a tumble.
Time slowed, and the moment became heady, rich with possibility. The air between them was charged, electric, like a storm. They were magnets, needing their opposite.
He reached for her, cupping her cheeks, brushing his thumb over her jaw, then her bottom lip, watching her shiver. She looked up at him, and his eyes were fixed on her, waiting for her. His lips parted, and she was wound tight with anticipation of what he'd say.
I love the way you look at me.
Tingles ran down her spine, spreading to her arms, her fingers, all the way to her toes.
You do?
I do.
I love the way you touch me, he said, taking her hand and spreading her palm open on his chest.
I love the way you talk to me. I love everything about you. And I recognize the look in your eyes, too. Do you know why?
She shook her head, and her entire body was trembling with want, with hope.
Why?
Because it's the same as in mine. Because I love you, Julia. I am completely in love with you, and I love you, and I want you to love me, he said, never breaking his gaze from hers, his beautiful brown eyes flooded with love.
I do, she said quickly, the tension in her chest disappearing, and relief washing over her in waves.
Clay, I love you so much.
He ran his hands through her hair, burying his fingers deep. She felt him trembling. He returned a hand to her face, brushed the backs of his fingers against her cheek, and she leaned into him, savoring the gentleness of his touch. Feeling the reverence that he treated her with, like she was precious to him, he ran his hand down her neck and her throat.
Julia, he said, his voice low but so intense as he spoke. I have never fallen in love like this.
His words bathed her in some kind of bliss, as if her veins flowed with liquid gold.
How have you fallen? She asked, overwhelmed with all she felt for him, with the way her body seemed to reach for him, to need him.
With everything I have. There is no part of me that isn't in love with you. There is no part of me that holds back, he said, his voice steady, certain.
Allness.
That's what it was for her, too. An utter allness. A love so deep and consuming, it filled her organs. It rode roughshod over her skin. It was a mark on the timeline of her life. Before, after.
She raised her hand and touched his face, stroking his jawline, watching with wonder as she made him gasp after a simple touch.
He grasped her hand, linked his fingers through hers, and brought her palm to his mouth, kissing her there.
I love you.
He bent his head to her neck, brushing his lips ever so softly against her skin, then up to her ear.
I am so in love with you, he said as if he couldn't stop telling her.
I love you so much.
I am so in love with you.
She stretched her neck so he could kiss her freely as he wanted to, as she ran her hand through his hair.
So in love.
He stopped kissing her, pulling back to look her in the eyes once more. His gaze melted her from the inside out.
I can't wait to take you home with me tonight, to spread you out on the bed, to make love to you all night long.
I want that. I want that again and again, and over and over.
Now go back in there, he said, gesturing to the restaurant. Even though you look like you've just had sex.
Her cheeks felt rosy. She was sure there was a glow in her eyes.
I feel like I've just had sex. Sex with the man I love, she said, playing with his hair, not wanting to let go of him, but needing to.
You will have that. I will give you everything, Julia.
He'd join her shortly.
He would.
He just needed to take care of this matter. The text on his phone was loud and clear. Business came first right now, and later, he'd find a way to explain.
Chapter 15. Julia skipped down the sidewalk at 2 a.m. Every move she made brought a smile to his face and touched down with happiness in his heart. She'd done it. She'd won big. After precariously losing to Michelle for a while there, she'd made a few big bets on a few big hands and had pulled out ahead. She'd wrapped her arms around the chips and tugged them in tight. She sure looked like she wanted to kiss them, to bring each and every one to her lips and then shake them at the sky victoriously. Instead, she'd stacked them, handed them to Liam since he'd acted as the bank, and watched with wide eyes as those chips turned into cash. She threw her head back, twirling on the street as if she were a kid catching snowflakes on her tongue. "And here's your money, sir," she sang, pretending to hand it over to Charlie. "Now go fuck off forever." She was jubilant, ready to lead a victory march. Clay grabbed her arm and pulled her in for a kiss, bending her back and kissing her like they were on a postcard. Let the whole damn city be jealous. Let the world want what he had. He claimed her mouth with his own, kissing her hard and passionately, like he planned to always. He'd never tire of the way her lips tasted, of her sweetness, of how she responded to him. She wrapped her arms around his neck and held on tight. "Take me home now," she said. "I want to know what it feels like to have you as a free woman." He tensed briefly as she said that, but that was ridiculous. She was free, completely free. He hailed a cab, and 10 minutes later he had her in his home, stripping her clothes off as they somehow made their way up the stairs, tangled up in each other. He was still buzzed on the night, on the things he'd said, on the way she'd won, on her sheer and utter happiness, and on telling her he loved her. It didn't matter that one of those things was a lie. There would be time in the morning to tell the truth. When day broke and the sun rose, that's when he'd let her know. The night was for more. "Did I ever tell you I have a thing for mirrors?" he said as he left his clothes in a heap on the floor. She raised an eyebrow as she stepped out of her skirt. "Then join me in the bathroom, handsome," she said, taking his hand and guiding him to the spacious room. She hopped up on the sink with the mirror behind them, roped her arms around his neck, and pulled him in close. Resting her forehead against his, she ran her hands down his naked chest, making him shiver with desire. "Thank you, Clay," she whispered. "Thank you for doing that for me. I can't tell you how much it means to be free of Charlie and free of Dylan on my own terms. And I loved it. I loved playing for real, playing in a game that wasn't fake, where I had to rely on chance and skill and myself," she said, and her words were like a tight knot in his gut. But he let her continue. "It means so much to me. You mean so much to me. I am so glad you walked into my bar and into my life and into my heart." He kissed her softly, brushing his lips against hers. At least this part was true, this contact, this touch. "That's the only place I want to be, in your heart," he said, then took a beat. "Though I like being in your pants, too." She laughed. "Then get in my pants, except I'm not wearing any," she said, gesturing to her naked body, covered only in the stockings he'd bought for her. "So this ought to be really easy." He shoved everything else aside, clearing his mind. He wanted to be with her completely. "Nothing worth having is easy," he said, lifting her off the counter and setting her down on the tiled floor. He shifted her around so she faced the mirror above the vanity, then spoke low in her ear. "I want to watch us. I want you to watch us." She gasped a yes as he dipped a hand between her legs, running his other hand up her belly. He entered her slowly, rolling his hips, savoring the delicious wetness, the tightness. Her eyes floated closed as he rocked into her. "Look in the mirror," he told her, and she opened her eyes, meeting his dark eyes in the reflection.
There was so much want in her gaze, so much openness.
Watch.
I am, she said, breathing in, breathing out. I am watching.
What do we look like to you?
Her eyes were hazy, her lips falling open.
Like two people in love, she answered.
He nodded against her neck.
Exactly. That's what we are. And I'm going to take you there, Julia. I'm going to take you over the edge. Because I love fucking you, and I fucking love you, he said, tugging her tighter, holding her closer as he thrust into her.
She stretched out her neck, leaning against his shoulder, her body becoming a canvas for his hands as he touched her breasts, her belly, her neck, and her throat. He wrapped one hand around her throat, not so tight that it hurt, but tight enough to let her know she was his. He was possessing her.
Tell me you're close.
So close.
Tell me who's fucking you right now.
The man I love, she said in between broken breaths, her lips open, her green eyes watching him in the mirror.
That's right. The man you love is fucking you. The man you love is making you come, he said, watching her face contort in pleasure, feeling her body tighten on him, feeling her heat all over him, as the sound of her ecstasy rang in his ears and he followed her there, chasing her to the other side. He breathed out hard, and so did she, as he wrapped his arms around her when they were done.
Julia, he started, and he should have been nervous or scared, but he wasn't, not one bit. He knew what he wanted.
I hate the thought of you going home tomorrow afternoon.
Me too, but I have to.
I know.
But what if you come back, and this bathroom becomes our bathroom, and the bedroom becomes our bedroom, and this home becomes our home? I can't stand being without you. I want you, here, in New York.
He searched her features, but her expression gave nothing away.
Her mouth was set in a line, her eyes were stoic. He tried to read her, to understand what was going through her mind, but he came up empty. And that's when the real fear shot off inside him. Had he scared her away? Asked for too much from a woman who needed to live life on her terms?
He opened his mouth to backpedal, to say he'd take what he could get because a little of her was better than losing her. But then she turned around, face to face.
I could give you some long answer about how that's too hard or too complicated, and how I don't know how to pull it off or make it work, and how I have a job and a family and a business in San Francisco, and that's all true, she said,
then stopped talking. And in that silence, his heart thumped hard against his chest, and he swore she could hear every heartbeat of his fear, could tell that each persistent pound was the soundtrack of his misery, of her leaving him.
And? He asked, his throat dry.
And? She answered, the corner of her lips curving up.
And if you're willing to work with me and help me figure all that out, then I can't give you a single reason why this shouldn't be my bathroom, because I love your tub, she said, pointing at the tub, and a smile broke across his face.
She leaned back and tapped the mirror.
And I love this mirror.
She gestured to the bedroom.
And your bed.
Our bed, he said, correcting her.
Our bed. I love our bed.
Now take me to bed, handsome, because I want to sleep in my home. Tomorrow we can figure out all the details.
Yes, tomorrow. There were so many details for tomorrow.
Chapter 16. They're freaking out about the film. Call me.
The message blared at him, his phone vibrating on the nightstand, his eyes bleary from little sleep. But this was the third time his phone had rattled on the wood. He read it one more time, an emergency text from Flynn. Shit. Grabbing his phone, he scrambled out of bed and down the stairs so as not to wake Julia.
What's going on? He asked, stepping out onto the balcony, greeted by the early morning June sun rising in the sky. The hot and muggy days of late spring were coasting into New York.
Heat vibrated in the air.
"They're worried that we can't handle the studio, that we're not big enough," Flynn said, his voice shaky.
"That's crazy. I've dealt with that studio many, many times. So have you."
"I know," Flynn said, exasperated. "And they were fine with it from the start. But now I think they're getting nervous. I'm worried they're going to back out. I have a breakfast meeting with them in 30 minutes on the Upper West Side."
Clay didn't stop to consider the sleeping woman in his bed, or whether she'd be annoyed that he had to take off. All he could focus on was making sure this film deal went through. Flynn had busted his ass to land the Pinkertons, and if they needed to have egos smooth or cold feet made toasty, it was his job to do so. The bottom line rested with him.
"I'll be there. Text me the location."
"Thanks, man. I need you," Flynn said, relief loud and clear across the phone line. He headed inside, walked quietly past a sleeping Julia, curled up on her side with her red flaming hair spread across the white pillowcase, looking like a goddess. His goddess. And he was going to have to tell her what he'd done before they met Charlie. He showered and dressed quickly, and she snoozed the entire time, barely moving. He imagined she was in the most peaceful land of dreams, finally sleeping easily now that the price tag was off her head. At least he'd been able to do that for her. He bent down to softly kiss her cheek. She sighed lightly but didn't wake. Gently, he shook her shoulder. He was greeted with an inhale and an exhale. "Julia," he whispered. Her eyelids fluttered.
"Hi," she said, opening them briefly.
"I need to go. I have to meet Flynn and the Pinkertons," he said, glancing at his watch. "Should last an hour, two tops. I'll meet you at 10:30 and then we'll see Charlie together." She nodded sleepily.
"Call me at 10 so I can shower?"
"Of course. Don't go without me."
"Do I look stupid?"
"Sassy from the moment she wakes up," he said, shaking his head in amusement.
"Back to sleepy time for me," she said, roping her arms around his neck. "But first, this."
She pressed a sweet kiss to his lips.
"I love you," she murmured, and his heart thumped painfully against his chest, lurching toward her.
He desperately wanted to stay, to sit her down and to explain. She'd forgive him. Of course she would, right? But he also had made a promise to Flynn and to himself that he'd take care of business. He had time for both. He could manage both. He'd tell her before they met Charlie.
"Can we go shopping later for new towels?"
"You don't like my towels?" She shook her head.
"I like big, fluffy ones."
"Then let's get you some big, fluffy towels."
"And I kind of think you could use a more comfortable bench on your balcony. Those wooden slats are hard."
"Considering what I will do to you on that, let's get it today." She smiled again.
"My flight's at 3.
"Then we will shop or we won't shop. But whatever we do, I will love every second of it because I'll be with you and I love you so much," he said. "And if I could blow this off and spend the morning inside you, I would. Believe me." "Believe me." His words echoed. He needed her to believe him.
"It's okay. Soon, we'll have plenty of Sunday mornings to be lazy and naughty together."
Lazy and naughty. Gorgeous, that is a promise. He'd keep that promise. He would absolutely keep that promise. Coffee. She needed coffee, stat. Her brain was fuzzy and her muscles were sluggish, and the late-night poker and even later-night sex had worn her out. After a quick shower, she grabbed her clutch purse and her phone and headed downstairs. She didn't bother hunting out coffee in the kitchen. She was a coffee shop kind of woman, and besides, she really should get to know the cafes in this neighborhood. It was going to be her neighborhood soon, and that prospect brought a grin to her face as she pressed the down button in the elevator. Her elevator. Her lobby.
She couldn't believe she'd said yes so quickly, so easily to his question. She should be terrified of packing up and moving across the country. She should hem and haw and think and consider. But as she pushed open the door of their building, stepping out into the bright morning sun on their block, she knew. There was no question about it. She and Clay were more than solid. They had a future, a bright and beautiful, smart and seductive future. He was her match. He was the one she hadn't been looking for, but who had found his way to her regardless. He was the one she couldn't imagine being without. To think they'd started as a one-night stand, and now they'd become, well, they'd become indispensable to each other. As she ordered her coffee, black with room for cream, she considered that it might be a risk moving here with him. She could get hurt. She could be left. Worst of all, she could be played like a fool. And yet, this was Clay, and he wasn't that kind of a man. He'd be more likely to travel to Pluto than to play her. Maybe love made you take chances, or maybe real love made you take the right chances. She poured cream in the coffee, knowing he was the right chance. She left the cafe and ran a finger over her right breast. Not because she had a hankering for self-booby love, but to double-triple-check that the money for Charlie was still tucked safely in her bra and ready to turn over. Safe and sound, and nestled against her. Her phone buzzed and she pulled it from her purse. On my way. Be there in 10 minutes. Love you. She couldn't help but smile because he couldn't stop saying, I love you. Her stomach rumbled, a reminder she hadn't had much dinner last night. The restaurant where they were meeting Charlie was one block away, but she wasn't going to show up early to eat and risk running into Charlie alone just because her tummy was growling. She was a big girl and could withstand hunger. Besides, once they were through with the mobster, she was planning on ordering French toast with butter and syrup and enjoying every single bite. She texted back, letting Clay know she was parked outside the cafe at a tiny little sidewalk table. She sank down in a metal chair, took a drink of her coffee, and scanned the block that would soon become second nature to her. With her sunglasses on, she watched the world of the West Village go by on a Sunday morning, checking out hip families with young children racing ahead of them, surveying couples draped over each other, guys and guys, girls and girls, girls and guys, then an inked young man heading to a tattoo shop across the street called No Regrets. Great name for a tattoo parlor, she thought, as he entered, probably to add to his markings. Her phone rang, and it was a 917 number she didn't recognize, so she answered in case Clay was borrowing Flynn's phone. Maybe his cell had died. Hello? Hey, Julia, it's Liam. I hope I didn't catch you at a bad time. She leaned back and smiled. Nope. Just enjoying this gorgeous June morning in Manhattan. That was a fun game last night. You play fierce. Why, thank you. I rather enjoyed taking your money from you. Perhaps we'll be able to play more. Seems I might be moving to Manhattan, she said. And if she could bottle this feeling, happiness, hope, possibility, and sell it, she'd be rich. Because everyone should want to feel this way. Effervescent. You are shitting me, he said. She laughed. Why would I joke about that? Because I was going to ask you if there's any way you'd consider being my bartender at Speakeasy. That drink you made last night was amazing. Well, you're easy then, if I sold you on one drink, she said, figuring he was joking. I'm serious, Julia. Your drink was to die for. And you also have the right attitude that I want behind the bar. Tough, but friendly. Playful, but not flirty. Smart, but inviting. Pride bloomed in her chest. Her luck was changing. She was coming out ahead based on skills, not looks. She was landing options in life rather than having them taken away from her. Her future was unfurling before her like a smooth open road, the top thrown down and the radio blasting. Tell me more about the job, she said,
and Liam shared details on the pay, the timing, and his plans.
"Sounds interesting," she said, playing it cool. "But I do already own a successful bar in San Francisco. I'm a little beyond the just a bartender level. I'm not that interested in working for someone when I can work for myself."
"I could even offer you an ownership stake if you'd like," he said.
"Let me think about it and get back to you. I'll have to see what my lawyer thinks," she said playfully.
"We have the same one. Let's hope he has the same interests.
In any case, I am honored you asked. I'll get back to you soon." She hung up and shook her head, amazed at how this treasure map was revealing itself. And there, in the middle of it all, inside the chest, weren't gems or rubies, but the most precious gift of all. A real love. She was a lucky woman, and this could be her life, here in the village in New York. She returned to her people watching. A pretty woman in a little black dress and high heels yawned as she passed Julia, likely wearing last night's clothes. She wondered how many of these people were neighbors, and if she'd soon get to know the gentleman who owned the cafe, or the guy across the street walking a pug, or this fellow in the black suit coming into view. But when she looked up to see the face of the man strolling past her, her heart plummeted 6 feet underground. Then, burrowed even farther when the man stopped, his muddy brown eyes on her, his dark hair freshly combed, his suit neatly pressed.
"Red, fancy meeting you here."
The voice was an icicle on her skin. She swallowed back her fear. Nothing to be afraid of. She had his money. That's all he wanted anyway. Even if Clay wasn't here to protect her. He'd be here any minute, and besides, she could handle this. Charlie crooked his arm at a right angle and looked at his watch.
"I am early for our pointless meeting, but I will join you anyway," he said, pulling out the chair next to her.
"Pointless?"
"So pointless," he said with a bored sigh, "except for the handshake part."
She kept her face stony and impassive, but her mind was whirring. She had no clue what he was hinting at. She didn't plan on letting on, though. One more time with the poker face for Charlie, because he didn't deserve her emotions. She reached into her bra and took out the bills.
"I have what you wanted, and I believe this means we are through."
He gave her a look as if she were an idiot child and waved her off.
"We are all good," he said, raising his hand dismissively.
Her eyebrows shot up. Forget hiding her reaction now.
"What do you mean?" she asked, as a cab screeched to a stop. "You suddenly decided to forgive my debt?"
He scoffed at her.
"That is funny, but I am not a forgiving man. He paid me, your lawyer. Good man. Better than that ex-boyfriend of yours," Charlie said, stopping to scratch behind his ear.
Julia's jaw dropped. She was sure she was hearing things. He couldn't possibly have said just that.
"Dylan Whitaker always seemed a little shifty to me. I hear he's peddling island real estate."
But the words about Dylan didn't register, because she was still reeling from the blow. It was as if she'd been punched out of nowhere. A jab to the right, a hit to the left. Her head was spinning, and she was seeing stars. Then she was seeing Clay, standing next to her, fists clenched at his sides, staring at Charlie.
"We weren't supposed to meet until 11, he said to Charlie through gritted teeth. "I was out for a stroll since this is such a lovely neighborhood, and look who I ran into," he said, gesturing to Julia. "Lucky me. I got to spend a few minutes with her. She even tried to pay me. But I had to tell her the matter was already settled between men."
It was as if a truck had slammed into her, smashing everything in her body. Clay looked at Julia, and she saw it in his eyes. Guilt. He was cloaked in it. He reeked of it.
"Clay,"
she began slowly, but her brain was quickly lining up the pieces, and she had a sickening feeling that she knew what he'd done.
Charlie says...
He cut her off. I can explain, he said, sitting next to her, reaching for both her hands and clasping them in his.
What do you have to explain?
The fact that you paid him already? She said heavily, the words like tar in her mouth. She hoped she'd heard wrong. She prayed that Charlie was lying. He was a liar, right? That was a more likely explanation than that her man had lied to her. He closed his eyes briefly, and the shame washed over his features. It was evident in his mouth, in his eyes, in his jaw.
It was all a fake? The game was rigged?
Clay shook his head adamantly. No, the game wasn't rigged. It was all real, I swear.
And why doesn't he need the money I won? Is it true you paid him already?
Her heart, so full of hope and joy, was turning black, like it had been painted over with a brush, becoming dark and cold in seconds. I paid him yesterday, he said, grasping her hand tighter. But she shook him off, tears threatening to spill down her face as that word, yesterday, rang in her ears. The only thing that stopped the waterworks was the presence of Charlie. She bit her tongue so she wouldn't cry in front of that man. I did it because I love you. Because I needed you safe.
When? When yesterday did you pay him?
His jaw tensed. Last night.
But when last night?
During the game.
When?
She asked one more time, biting out the word.
It matters. When?
He called earlier in the day and said he needed it by midnight, Clay said. Julie was used to Charlie's capriciousness, to the way he changed up times and dates and deadlines to suit himself. This was Charlie's M.O. And you were losing. And I didn't know if you were going to pull it off, he said, and his words cut her to the quick. So I wired him the money.
Answer the question, Clay. When exactly did you wire him the money?
Clay looked as if stones were in his mouth. Around 11:30.
After I told you I loved you?
He nodded.
After our conversation about Michelle?
Another nod, followed by a heavy sigh. After you told me you were texting Flynn about the Pinkertons? Yes.
Were you texting Flynn or Charlie?
He looked down, and in his silence she knew his answer, and it ripped through her body like a painful tear, like invisible hands were shredding her to pieces. A loud scraping sound met her ears. Charlie had pushed back his chair.
As fascinating as it is to witness a lover's quarrel, I have business matters to attend to. Mr. Nichols, I thank you very kindly for securing the transaction last night so that I could get on my flight to Miami. I have business to attend to there. I believe the final term of our deal was a handshake,
he said, offering his hand to Clay. The two men shook, and Julia wanted to bite both of their fingers, leaving teeth marks and making them both yelp. Charlie patted Julia on the shoulder. And that means, Red, you are free and clear. It has been a pleasure working with you. You made it entertaining for me, and I will miss my top ringer. But I will surely find someone else who owes me soon. Enjoy Cubic Z. I will not be drinking there again, he said. That was what she wanted, what she'd been fighting for, and she somehow knew Charlie meant every word. There was honor among thieves. His word was good on this matter. He walked off, leaving Julia alone with the man who'd played her.
I don't understand. You think this is okay because you did it for love?
No. Yes, he said, his voice wobbly as he shoved his hand through his hair. Yes. Julia, I didn't want anything to happen to you, so I got him the money. She softened for a moment because she understood some part of his actions,
deeply and truly.
I get that. I honestly do. I understand you wanted to protect me, and I don't fault you for that, because I'd have done the same for you, and I'm okay with that, she said, dropping her hand on top of his.
Relief flooded his eyes when she made contact, but it was short-lived, because she took her hand away, placing them both in her lap. Her anger stole all the softness, replacing it with only the sharp, cruel betrayal she felt.
But I don't understand why the hell you didn't tell me. It's been 12 hours since you sent him the money. You had so many chances to tell me that the rules of the game had changed.
She watched him swallow hard, a terribly pained look in his eyes.
I wanted to tell you.
But you didn't.
You let me play the end of the game thinking it mattered. I was losing, and you told me to go back in there and kick ass, knowing it didn't matter how I played.
You sent me back to play a game that was for all intents and purposes rigged, because it didn't matter what I did, she said, her voice threatening to break.
That's the moment, Clay, then, there, on the street. After you told me you loved me, that's when you needed to tell me about Charlie's new deadline. I'd have understood completely if you pulled me aside and said, hey, gorgeous, bad news,
she said, dropping her voice to imitate a man's deeper tones.
Charlie called and we need to get him the money now.
That's all you had to say, that's it.
I know. I should have, but you were happy and determined, and I wanted you...
He let his voice trail off.
You wanted me to believe I could do it, she supplied.
Yes, he said with a heavy sigh.
You wanted me to think I'd pulled it off myself. But I only wanted one thing, to not be played. And you took that away from me. You, of all people, should know better. You hate lies and you hate liars, and you lied to me by not telling me. You patted me on the ass and sent me into a game that didn't matter, but you led me to believe it did. Then I won, and I practically danced down the street afterwards, and you kissed me and told me you were proud of me. I thanked you for making it possible for me to win on my own terms, and that was another moment that you could have told me.
She stopped to grab him by the arm, trying to make her point.
Instead, you let me believe I'd won my freedom, she said, and now the lump in her throat was so painful that it felt like a swollen ache.
She brought her hand to her mouth, as if she could keep the crying at bay. But one rebel tear streaked down her cheek as she whispered,
"And you made love to me in your house in front of the mirror, and asked me to move in with you, and you knew then. All you had to do is tell me. I would have still said yes.
I wanted you to be happy, and I didn't know how to say it," he said, trying to reach for her, to tug her back in for an embrace, but she held him off.
You're a goddamn lawyer. You talk to people for a living. Your whole world is semantics and details, she said, the words breaking on her tongue like salty waves.
She took a deep breath, trying to somehow settle the tears that threatened to rack her body.
You could have found a way to tell me. Instead, you spent the whole night telling me you loved me and asking me to move in when you should have been telling me the truth first. Because the truth is fine. The truth isn't what hurts. It's the time you had when you chose to not tell me the truth. And that makes me feel like I gave you my heart and you played me like a fool.
I only did it to protect you.
I did something once to protect you. I lied about who you were to protect you, she said, reminding him of that morning on the street in San Francisco when Stevie showed up.
Clay winced as she mentioned it.
And what happened? You walked away.
You've got to understand, I was trying to help you last night, Julia, he said, his words slick with desperation.
I know your intentions were good, but this isn't about your intentions. It's about your actions, because those matter more to me.
I've been deceived so badly over money by men. She grabbed his shirt collar, her eyes locking with his.
I need you, the man I love, to never deceive me. I want to be on your team, but you've got to play fair. I'm fine with what you did, but I am not fine with how you did it. I am not fine with those 12 hours that you had to tell me the truth.
If you had time to ask me to move in with you, you certainly had the time to tell me about Charlie's demands, she said, as she stood up quickly, pushing away from the table. Please don't go. We are making a scene, and when patrons at my bar make a scene, I ask them to leave, and that is what I'm doing, she said as she walked down the street. He kept pace alongside her. I am sorry, that is all I can say. I fucked up, and I'm so sorry. She stopped outside his building, parking her hands on her hips. Do you know how I feel right now, do you? Terrible, he offered up weakly. Stupid. Like I'm the biggest idiot in the world, she said, erecting a wall inside her to keep the tears locked up. She had to say this. He had to know. And it makes me feel as if everything that happened between us last night was a lie. The way I feel for you is not a lie, Julia, he pleaded, and she could hear every note of his pain, but she hurt too. It's the truest thing in the world. And you ought to act like that, she said, staring sharply at him as she grabbed the handle of the door. So what happens next? I'm leaving New York, and I'm going to go home to my house, and that's as far as I know right now. Please. Give me a chance to make this up to you, he said, practically begging. Once inside the elevator, she placed her hand on his chest. I understand you want to, but I have to leave for the airport in 2 hours. I need to pack and I'm hungry as hell. At least let me feed you. Let me get you something to eat. If only this were as simple as French fries, she said as they stepped out onto his floor. But you can help me pack. Then I will gladly help you pack, he said. And together they went upstairs, both like beaten-down rag dolls, listless when they should have been joyful. They didn't speak as she gathered her lotion, shampoo, and makeup from the bathroom, dropping them into a plastic bag and layering that on top of her clothes. Maybe there was nothing more to say. The time for words had passed. This wasn't about arguments or trying to convince someone you were right or wrong. This was about whether she'd listen to her heart or her head, and what both had to tell her. So what happens, Julia? He asked as he zipped her bag. Are you coming back? She met his eyes, the sadness in hers reflected back. I want to, but I really need to think about everything now. I need a solid week apart, no contact. Make sure I'm not making a mistake. It's easy for you if this doesn't work out. You're not giving up anything. I'm changing everything. And I would never take that or you for granted. I promise. I will cherish you, as I already do. Will you let me buy you a ticket to return? You are free to do whatever you want, but I need to be certain that this is right for me. So I can't promise you I'm going to use it. This has been a crazy weekend, from the game, to things ending with Charlie, to you and me. You hurt me, and I need to go home and take some time alone to make sure I'm not being foolish again, Clay. You're not, he said, reaching for her hand, clasping it in his. Oh, how she wanted to fall into his arms. Those strong, sturdy arms that had protected her, fought for her, held her. But this wasn't about him. It was about her, and whether she could let herself turn so much of her life and her heart and her home over to someone else again. I swear. You asked me to move my life across the country for you, and I said yes in a heartbeat because I love you. And the whole time you were hiding something from me. And that something makes me feel like a fool, she said, whispering the last words like a eulogy. To her, it was the worst name in the world she could call herself, because she'd been there. Oh, had she been there. A little while later, she walked to the door, down the stairs, and to the waiting town car that would whisk her to the airport. He'd offered to ride with her, but she'd declined, saying it would be too tempting, and she needed not to be tempted in that way.
He held on to that sentiment like a fragile glass globe of hope, clutching it for several minutes on the way downstairs. But then, he knew better. They'd always been good together physically. What was happening between them now was no longer about chemistry. It was about trust, and she needed to know he was a man of his word in all matters. There was no room for anything less. He had to keep all his promises to her, the big ones and the small ones. Life was rarely about the big things. It was usually about the impact, the potentially damaging impact, of the little things. After the driver stowed her bags in the trunk, Clay reached for her, pulling her in close. She tucked her face in the crook of his neck, her breasts pressed against his chest. He could feel her heart beating against him, and he could have stayed there all day. As she broke the embrace, she cupped his cheek with one hand, a soft fingertip tracing his jaw, sending tremors like quicksilver through his body. He would miss her touch. He would miss all of her. She stood on tiptoes, brushing her soft lips against his, lingering slowly on his mouth. The kind of kiss that stays with you for days. The kind of kiss you never forget. Because of how it tastes. Like, goodbye.